Hi, my name is Seema. I'm a baby and toddler sleep consultant and a reflux specialist and a somatic therapist. So what that basically means is that I work with lots of different hats, and I have experience in helping babies to sleep plus reflux, and I'm also a qualified BACP registered therapist. So I've been working with families for about 18 years, and so I started my therapy a long time ago, and it's a talking therapy, which is, so I run a private practice and it's separate to baby sleep, and they also overlap. However, the separate piece is a private clinic that I run for adults only in regards to therapy. And it's a talking therapy, and I support clients with any and every emotional issue that they have. So it could range from separation, divorce, or self-esteem, losing somebody, bereavement, losing a job, struggling in a relationship, or body image, issues of race. So that's completely separate to baby sleep. Baby sleep came a bit later when I became a parent and I couldn't or didn't know how to put my children to sleep and suffered really severe sleep deprivation. So what I've done is I've combined the two because, so I've combined the two in terms of there's an overlap. However, I still work with adults. If you're interested in therapy, you can come to me separately. You don't have to have children for that. And the way that I've also combined it is that I've specialised, or I've started to specialise in working with mums with depression, anxiety, stress, overwhelm and burnout around bringing up young children or multiple young children and or are sleep deprived. So I'm going to spend a bit of time today talking about the nervous system and how therapy can help, and you know, chuck in a bit about sleep and sleep deprivation and things like that. So I wanted to focus on this topic because there's not a huge amount of knowledge or out there around somatics and sleep deprivation, in particular with young children. So it's like a topic that almost feels like there's a bit of a gap. And I have so many mums that come to me that are in tears, that are burning out, that are at a loss, that suffer from really high anxiety levels and don't really know where to go. And part of the problem, you know, sometimes or more often than not, because the first place that they get in touch with me is through baby sleep. So part of the problem is baby sleep, or in terms of their sleep issues, they're sleep deprived. So what I would do is firstly, I would sleep train the babies, and then we would have an overall clear image or a true picture of the anxiety, depression, stress, overwhelm, you know, burnout after the sleep issues have been addressed. Simply because when a parent suffers from sleep deprivation, the nervous system and the physical body and the emotional and mental side of it and the elements are absolutely through the roof because they've been up most of the night. You know, they're looking after young children, the daytime requires a lot from them, and there's no let up or no rest in terms of the night. So if they're rocking to sleep or if they're feeding to sleep. So when you take away the sleep issues, it reduces everything by half, and whatever you're left with gives you the basis of what to work with in either talking therapy or somatic therapy. So I offer both of those, and talking therapy, I'm qualified in person-centered and psychodynamic therapy. And what that basically means is that Sigmund Freud is the psychodynamic part, which is working with the unconscious mind, and then person-centered is more about having a conversation with you about whatever you want to bring to the session and talking about it. However, Over the years, what I've found is that there's some limitations to the talking therapy. And as a mum of three myself, having suffered burnout, overwhelm, and depression and anxiety through different stages of motherhood myself firsthand, which I talk very openly about, I've come to a realisation, I started to come to a realisation that talking therapy, there was something missing. It's good for a certain amount or certain topics. However, when there's higher levels of anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder or physical symptoms in the body that you can actually feel and experience, the talking therapy struggles to shift the physical symptoms from the body. So you could talk and talk and talk and talk. However, you're going round having a conversation and it's not addressing the knots in your belly or the sickness that you feel or the increased heart rate or the sweaty palms or the racing thoughts or the frantic manicness, brain fog, lack of concentration, you know, things like that. So when I started to look into my journey about a year ago, I was looking into things like manifestation, you know, working with a business coach and looking at how to juggle my business with having three young children, looking after the household and what's required of me and how I can maintain my anxiety levels. So when I started looking online, I kept coming across somatics, and I thought, what is this? And I'm a true believer in being led by instinct. And I believe that, you know, and people say this, that you're manifesting all the time. So if I'm thinking about something around my health, the resources, the universe just plugs out those resources, you know, naturally, and they just come across my path. I do truly believe, and I have really good faith, that what I need along the way will come along and at the right timing. So I believe in divine timing. So I started to come across this somatic therapy after having these thoughts around the physical sensations in my body that I'm experiencing. And I came across an amazing somatic therapist coach who I've been working with and I'm qualifying with as a somatic practitioner. So we've been learning about the nervous system. You know, it's a complex network and it's made up of cells and tissues and organs and things like that. And it basically regulates the activities of the body. So receiving, processing sensory information from around you and then integrating all of that and analysing the information and then responding to that in various bodily functions. So when we look at the nervous system, and it's important to mention at this point, there's a lot of mums that I speak to on the phone that break down, and I might have said that at the beginning of this podcast, that, you know, they don't realise why they're feeling like that, or they think it's not okay to feel like that, or that they're a failure, or they should know better, and that they're not raising their children correctly, or they just can't comprehend why they're so upset. And there's a multi-layered approach to this. You know, one is that giving them the space to openly talk and offload and hearing, listening, supporting and understanding what they're going through, you know, that's essential. However, looking at the symptoms that I have experienced and they experience, whether it is sleep deprivation or just having multiple children or managing loads and bringing up young children, the nervous system, it can go into fight or flight response, and people would have heard about this, but there's two ways that the nervous system responds. One is the sympathetic nervous system, and that's where the body prepares for fight or flight responses, and it's activated during times of stress and danger. So you can have like increased heart rate, dilated blood vessels, you know, stress hormones are released. And then you've got parasympathetic nervous system, which promotes rest and digest activities, and it conserves energy and facilitates bodily functions like digestion, relaxation and sleep. So the nervous system, you know, it can affect everything around health. So that can include things like your thoughts, your memory, your learning, your feelings, your movement, your balance, loads of things. Like, you know, the way you coordinate, even your senses, you know, how your brain interprets stuff, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch, and then obviously sleep. So your nervous system, when I'm working with mums, the first thing that I'm asking, even if they've sleep trained or not, is how much sleep are you actually getting? What do you do of an evening? Does your partner sleep? Do you have childcare or do you have outside help? And what time do you go to bed? So we know that sleep and food can affect us. You know, the nervous system can affect things around health with heartbeat, breathing problems, stress levels, digestion. You know, often people that are stressed or suffer from anxiety wake up in the morning and they're just not hungry. So they don't eat until about 9, 10 a.m. Or often skip breakfast. That can sometimes also be one of the signs of anxiety, amongst other signs as well. So the sympathetic nervous system, it basically gives us energy, you know, for any action that we've got planned, and it helps us to prepare for threat, right? So some of the, you know, examples or signs or symptoms that I really want to share today around the sympathetic nervous system, when your body is struggling and your stress responses are up and your anxiety is high and your nervous system is dysregulated, some of the symptoms that you might experience. So you've got an increased heart rate. You know, your heart might beat faster and pump more oxygenated blood to the muscles and the other organs, and that can also make you tired as well. You can get dilated pupils. You can get increased blood pressure. You can get increased blood sugar levels. You know, your digestive system can sometimes be completely suppressed, as I was saying, around skipping meals or not eating the best choices for us. Then there's sweating. You know, you might get a sweaty back or a sweaty neck, or, you know, your palms might be a little bit sweaty as well. So the other side of that is the parasympathetic nervous system, which is slowing down. And that's the nervous system that actually helps you to relax, unwind, you know, kind of discharge as well. And some of the things that you might experience there is also around digestion, but your muscles might feel a lot more relaxed. You know, you might have more saliva coming from your mouth. You know, you might have decreased blood pressure. You might have constricted pupils, a decreased heart rate, and things like that as well. So what I have found is that having, this is a starting point for somatics, and there's so much involved in somatic therapy, and you'll see over the coming weeks and months, I'll be sharing more and more and more as I expand my somatics coaching therapy for parents. But some of the things that work, and if you're interested, please do feel free to pop me a message. I'm happy to share free trackers, is that there's a tracking system. And when you are able to track, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes, and I've just said this to somebody this morning that, you know, I'm too busy, it's going to take too much time, there's no benefit, I can't see why I should do it. I often get that resistance. And I always say to people that even as a mum of three, I completely understand 100% what it feels like to be busy, to be back to back and to be on the go from morning right till night with no rest in between. However, making this a priority, especially if you know that your nervous system, and you will know if your nervous system is dysregulated because you will feel it in your body. Your body will tell you and do the talking for you. Quiet your mind, give yourself 5 to 10 minutes and take out that time to sit, check in with yourself, ask yourself what you need, how you're feeling, if you've been triggered throughout the day, what has triggered you, and you can use these tracking sheets. But what you basically want to look for 5 to 10 minutes a day is what you got triggered by, what the event was, how it made you feel, And where in your body did it affect you? And what physical symptoms or experiences came up for you? How long it was there for? And how long it took for it to calm down? And the beliefs around what you, kind of what you've told yourself. What's the story that you have told yourself about that triggering event that's activated you? So I'll give you an example. It could be that, you know, my four-year-old wouldn't put her school uniform on, or, you know, her PE, she's only new to sort of PE, and she didn't want to wear her PE kit, especially when her sisters haven't got it on, and the meltdown. And then straight away, I could feel my body get hot, my palms get sweaty, my heart rate increased, and my thoughts sped up, and I started to become irritated, frustrated, and snappy. And straight away, I knew instantly, because I've been tracking for a while now and I've got a bit used to it, you can do them mentally on the spot after you've been using the sheets for a while. And I thought, right, I've been thrown off balance. I need to breathe and I need to just stop a second. Is it the end of the world that she's not wearing her PE kit? Calm down, take a few minutes out, step away from the situation. And I could feel in my body that my nervous system had been triggered and I was activated. So removing myself from the situation rather than shout at a four-year-old, bless her. So coming away, and then after calming down and mentally tracking and thinking to myself, okay, I feel a bit calmer now. My symptoms, or not even symptoms, but my experience has gone down. I feel a little bit less activated. What's the solution? Where can I function from now? So I went back in and I said, all right, that's fine. We'll pack it into your bag and we'll just go to school and we'll manage it when we get there. So I had a chat with her teacher and I said to her, teacher, this is the situation. And the teacher said, you know, that's fine. It's quite common at this age. We'll change it for her. And then she just spent probably about 4 to 6 weeks doing PE in her uniform. And it's not the end of the world. It's fine. It's okay. So recognizing that in my nervous system, and that is physical symptoms that are being triggered, and having a way of release, an outlet, and kind of to remove myself from the situation. And it's not, you can't always remove yourself. However, you can consciously just bring it to your awareness. You know, this is what I'm experiencing with my body, and take some deep breaths. So with somatics work, you'll hear me talk a lot about breath work and breathing and, you know, how to bring yourself back and mindfulness and grounding and things like that. But what you can do is you can stop, take 7 deep breaths through your nose and out from your mouth, but hold each breath. When you're going in, count to 7, hold for 4 seconds and release for 8. And keep repeating that, and you will feel your nervous system calm right down and slow down and function from some normality. And I'm just going to end in a second on this, but what I want to say is that when you feel this on a regular basis, then you know that it's probably time to seek help, whether that's with a friend or doing some reading or buying a book or listening to an audio book or listening to some podcasts like mine, or addressing the issue more firsthand and working with somebody one-to-one. You know, my details are online. They'll be in my socials. You can book up therapy with me. But if you suffer from anxiety on an ongoing basis, you want to really stop and look at what the root cause is. Where has this come from? How long have you been feeling like this for? How long can you sustain this, you know, how you are, your anxiety? And the starting point is awareness. The starting point is when you start to become aware of your behavior and your reactions and your responses, it slows everything down. And when you slow everything down, you can then start to spot patterns. And when you start spotting patterns, you can then look to what you want to do about the pattern. So if it is frequent, get some support, get some help, whether that's professional or personal support, whatever it is, because being a mum, you know, it changes you as a person, and you've got lots of different identity parts to you that are new. you know, you've got old parts of identity that might not be able to shift in with the new parts, and there's a transition period of kind of coming into becoming a mum after you've had kids. So, you know, I've done podcasts on this before and I'll do more again, but the transition of becoming a mum and integrating the old with the new versions of you can also cause a lot of anxiety and a lot of overwhelm and a lot of stress. So it's really important that we take time out, check in with ourselves, slow down, and just continue working on ourselves as a parent, as a mum, and just as somebody who deserves to look after yourself. So make self-care non-negotiable. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thank you.